All right, everybody. Today we have fellow director producer Ricky Johnson on the show. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here. You know, I'm happy to talk to you. This is our first time, like, you know, actually talking. But like, I've heard a lot about you. You know, so
and cool. the feeling's mutual. It's the same thing. Like, I saw you. There was some stuff that was shared, and I've seen your name, but. Like something was shared in the last several months and it really hit home. I think it was a thing that you wrote two models and it was like you had it pinned on it probably 3 months ago, 4 months ago. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was this very, like, very heavy but real shit that you were talking to the models. Like, I see you, I hear you kind of thing. And that's when I was like, I'm going to start following this dude because it's like-minded and kind of shit. So, and since then it's been nothing but like, at some point I'm going to get the balls to reach out and be like, hey, you want to be on my little podcast?
No, I love podcasts. I've been wanting to start a podcast for like a year now. And like, probably when we're done, I'm going to ask you so many questions on how this works. Cause it's like, podcasts are so cool cause they're informative and like you can teach people, you can educate people, you know? So it's good to have one in the industry where people can learn and stuff like that.
Right. So we can start anywhere and we can talk about anything. I got a couple questions for you and then we'll just go, man. I'm going to sit back and listen to you.
Yeah.
When I first saw you, you very much kind of already had kind of like advocacy work going, like the way you spoke and the way you seem so passionate about stuff. And unfortunately you don't see a lot of that with male performers in this industry, not to say that they don't have compassion, but unfortunately, and it's coming out. So the good thing is people are kind of being called out on their bullshit, but it's not as prevalent as I think it should be in the industry. So what I want to know is what made you realize, when did you finally sit up and go, fuck, something's wrong. I'm going to stand up and say something.
I equate it to like, you know, there's a lot of homeless in the world or even in like LA, California. That doesn't mean that people don't care about the homeless people. It's just that, like, you know, they're on their own, like, agenda. Like, oh, I got to take care of myself type thing. So it's kind of like the same in the industry. I think people know it's fucked up, but they're just like, I got to take care of myself. But for me, I've been in this industry, like, I'm going on 5 years now. And it's like, this is like a family. This is my career. I'm going to be on this industry. This is what I'm going to be doing. I'm being porn. So it's just like, I'm seeing, like, all my family members with fucked up situations. So it's just like, I can't just, like, not doing anything. I wouldn't be able to sleep if I just like, if I'm here for a really long time and I just witnessed a lot of fucked up stuff and I just like turn a blind side. That's not saying like everybody else is, because people may not know, but like after the information that I've come across and found out, it's just like a chunk of my career is going to be dedicated to like trying to make this industry a better place. Cause at the end of the day, it's like, if you look up my name, I'm a part of the industry and this industry is like considered like trash, you know, from like a microscope. People, if you look at, like, if you ask, like, what is a porn star? And they're like, oh, they're, like, terrible sexual assault people. And it's just like, you know, then, like, my name is associated with that. And that's not cool, you know? I don't like that. And this is a great place. We can, at the end of the day, we're all having sex. We're all like, something that everybody sees subconsciously. And when you grow up, you see porn. And then when you, almost everyone sees porn before they have sex.
Right.
So if you have sex for the first time and you get to the point where you don't know what to do, your subconscious is going to go back to like what that time you saw like sex. So it's just like, you're going to like, whatever you saw like a rough sex, you saw a passionate sex scene. You're going to like go to that and try to do that, you know? So if you have like a lot of fucked up stuff going on and then it's like, it's being recorded and people see that, and that's like, that's what's going to be in their mental, you know? So it's got to change the culture. The culture's fucked up.
Right. Now, do you think, because like you said, you just made a good point that a lot of, especially now with the internet, and you're a younger gentleman than I am, so I didn't have internet. I had to sneak around and find my dad's shit laying around in a magazine in the sock drawer or something. But it's real. I mean, you can get it on your phone. You can get it everywhere now. Kids can easily access it, and you can put child safety shit all day long. I didn't gonna stop them. They want to see it bad enough, they're gonna find a way. So
I found a way when I was a kid. My mother's password was 0000. So and that is why I saw a lot of naughty stuff at a young age.
Right. So do you feel that it's a problem? Because I mean, seeing it's one thing, and I mean, we all see it, and for the most part I feel like as a society we're smart enough to go, okay, she probably doesn't really want me to fuck her doggy style and put my foot on the back of her head while her ass is in the air and her face down. She may, but it's a way that I feel, unfortunately, that people the younger generation thinks this is a learning, it's sex ed, whereas in reality we're entertainers. So do you think there's a problem with that, that it's that for whatever reason, the younger generation seeing it and think it's okay to, that they emulate what we do on camera?
Yes and no. I mean, it's they just gotta educate themselves, you know? You just gotta know what's right and what's wrong. There's a lot of consent issues just in general. Just people aren't communicating enough. Right. I think the biggest thing is communication. You have to communicate with your partner, no matter what. Right. Like, people are always, like, scared and nervous to communicate. And sometimes when you communicate, the situation is so much better. Even, like, with terms of, like, situations where it's, like, you want to involve another person in your relationship. Or, like, you know, ooh, can we do a threesome? Like, you know. And sometimes the person's down, but you're just scared. You'll never communicate, you know. So it's just, communication is the biggest fucking thing that is in the world. Like, and people need to learn to, like, just work on that. Yeah. Things will be so much better.
And yeah, and you just point out a good thing too. There's so many people I feel like that go, like the vanilla friends of mine that obviously aren't in the industry. They come to me all the time and they ask the weirdest shit. And I was like, have you talked to them? Have you talked to your partner, the one you're fucking? Like, why are you asking me? Like, we know each other because we have kids in the same class. Why aren't you asking the person you're fucking? I'm a kind of a stranger, but because I'm in the sex industry, people are like, oh, well, let's ask him. And I was like, if you just go back and say, hey, like you said, I've been thinking about a threesome. How do you feel about this? Or, hey, you want to watch some porn together? Or, hey, will you stick your finger in my ass when you're blowing me? Or whatever. Like, people go through, and it seems like the majority, go through their life wanting all of these really fun things, but they're too fucking scared to ask for it.
Yeah. And then they might get the answer. The wife would be like, I've been wanting to do that too. And they'd be like, holy shit, what the hell? And then boom, you just got like a new like fucking world in your relationship that you didn't know about.
Right. So, were you part of, because there were so many people in there yesterday, there was the BIPOC collective that did the consent thing yesterday. Were you in there for that?
I missed it. I'm in Turkey. I'm stuck in Turkey right now, so my time zone is like all fucked up.
Oh, and, shit, you didn't come back. I knew you were saying you were coming back.
Yeah, no, because, you know, America's full of like COVID and coronavirus, all the other countries are like, there's no flights. And so like my time zone thing is all fucked up. So unfortunately I missed it, but I'm in the, this little group with them. So I'm definitely gonna get a recap and see and like check it out. It was but I love good. That. I love that we're doing stuff like that.
Yeah. That's I think important. Cinnamon, is a badass. Like my first exposure to Cinnamon Love, I had just gotten in the industry in 2004 and I'm working for a smaller bondage company at the time. And the first edit that I ever did, like he sat down and said, here's the cut tool and here's the this. And it was very basic. Here's how you learn to edit in Final Cut Pro at the time. And my first video I ever edited was Cinnamon Love. So since then, I've had this like, man, I love that woman. And that she's just become how big and badass that she is now, like starting this and running shit like she is. Like, I love that fact. So having that and what she's done and now this collective that's come together that's like, hey, we're done with this bullshit. We're not fucking around anymore. There's finally real talk that's happening, because forever in this industry, the people have always been like, you know, I really hate this. I really hate that. And we should do something, but nothing's ever been done. And now shit's finally happening. And I love that.
Yeah, no, it's important that action is being taken, you know, because it's a lot of talk. It's a lot of listening. And it's like, oh, that sucks. And then that's it. You know, and then 10 years later, it's like, oh, that sucks. And then like, you know, you keep saying it sucks, but like, if you really care, you just got to do something.
Yeah. And that's the problem, as I feel like there's been so much talk for so long. And now starting with the collective, there's talk that's moving towards action rather than just talking, because it's the same thing. You can get 90 people in a Zoom meeting that are all going to sit there and listen to King and Mickey and everybody else and Wolf that are in there. And I think Black Sin was the other one, the main host, but they can sit there all day long and those 96 people can listen. But if they're not deciding that now we have to figure out a way to move forward, it's the same thing it's always been. And I think that's the thing, like you said, is this is my industry just like this is your industry. And if this industry's fucked up, then that's a representation of me, unfortunately. So until we say, fuck this, we got to fix it, it's just going to stay the same.
100%. 100%.
So with that being said, July 2nd, I love this. You made a statement on Twitter, and this is when I was like, I have to reach out and have a conversation with this man. You said, if you've truly sexually abused someone in the industry and I know about it, if I see you at an event, I will open palm slap the shit out of you every time I see you in the hopes that you feel a fraction of the uncomfortableness that victims felt. Talk to me about that, because I love that shit.
Well, I mean, it's just like, you know, you see all these stories and all these people, and there's people that have been in the industry for a long time, and that means that they've like ruined these girls' like lives in a sense, and they've taken advantage of them. Like, sex is an industry where you can be open and be yourself, and not all times, but sometimes these girls come from like, you know, fucked up situations, and they come into our industry to like feel comfortable because we're a very accepting industry where you can just be yourself. And for someone to be that vulnerable and then look to you or see you as someone that they can trust, and then you just shatter that and fuck it up, and then you make the situation even worse, to where like, where did they turn? The place where they're at is now another toxic environment. And then you feel comfortable where you can just live your days and just walk around and like maybe even get an award or some shit like that. And it's just like, you know, I'm not Batman, but I will definitely do my part. And if I, like, you know, like, I don't want you to be comfortable. I don't want you to feel like you can just get away with that type of shit. Like, I want to make sure, like, yo, like, I'm being honest. Like, if I know about like somebody that's legitimately like factually, like, they've been charged and like they've done that shit, and they, like, people that have been, there's a couple guys that I've heard that we know that have been like definitely terrible people. Right. If they come to an event and I see you, like, I'm definitely gonna be tapping on your back of your shoulder and fucking give you a nice little pity pat on your fucking face and just be like, yo, what are you doing here? Like, why are you here?
Yeah.
Like, you know you shouldn't be here. Like, why are you here?
Because it's gone on for so fucking long. I mean, the fact that Ron Jeremy just had charges pressed against him, and the severity, here's the thing. Think of how severe that they know this situation is. They gave a sex worker, he's charged of rape, legitimately charged, $6.6 million bond. Dude, there's people who have shot, I bet you that dumb fucking piece of shit white boy who shot up that church in South Carolina, North Carolina, I bet he probably didn't get a fucking bond that high. Of course, I don't think they would have given him a bond anyway, but $6.6 million, they did not want him going any fucking where.
And the unfortunate part of that is, like, I was looking at articles and there's people, there's like a bar owner who was like, oh, that guy's good. I didn't see him do nothing here. It's just because these people have some kind of celebrity that it makes people think because it didn't happen to them that these people are innocent. And that's unfortunate. That's the most unfortunate thing, is that it's really hard for someone of like popularity to go down with these types of things because they have a fan base that's just like blindsided and just don't see. They only see one thing. They're like, oh, that could, no. I've only seen him for like 10 seconds a day. He's a great person, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I've served him a couple drinks. Whole narrative.
You know, it's like you see this guy for like a minute, and then he has like fucking 24 hours where he does fuck shit. And you're like, ah, my encounter with him was nice, you know?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
There was, I think he just popped his head back up recently because he's been out of prison for a little while, but Max Hardcore. I met him years ago back in LA. He showed up on, I was shooting one of his girlfriend at the time, and he showed up and I'm running camera and he's like, can I sit in? I'm like, fuck, you're Max Hardcore. Fuck yeah, you can sit down, man. And he's watching it. And all of a sudden, and with no discussion, I back up to close to where he is to get a wide shot. And you hear this and I look over and he's just fucking jerking it. All right, I'm gonna step over here to get away from him. And every experience I had with the dude, he was fine. The difference is, I don't have a pussy. He's not trying to fuck me. But most women that have talked about him are talking about the same kind of, there's abuse, there's this, there's that. And the same shit, my experience, he seemed cool. But I'm not the woman he fucking abused, or the women, or however, you know, you look at the situation. The same thing as like you just said. That's your experience. I saw him for this much. I didn't live with him. I didn't shoot for him and all that other bullshit. And it just amazes me how naive some people are to sit there and have that attitude that, he seems fine to me.
Yeah, it's a big problem. Because then also it dilutes the credibility of the person that is like crying for help. You know, if you have someone that had 1,000 partners and they raped two, does that make that person a good guy because they have like a 98% like fucking, you know, non-rape percentage? That they're still a fucking rapist. Right. You know, it's just like, and the unfortunate part is when that happens, you have 998 girls that are like, this guy's great. And then those two people are like, well, nothing's going to happen, you know, because they're overshadowed by the fucking amount of people that are just like, yeah, go that guy. So it's just, it's an unfortunate situation. It's like if you have a killer, if I don't kill 1,000 people, but I kill two, does that mean if 998 people are like, nah, I like him, does that mean I'm cool now? No.
Exactly.
I'm a killer.
Exactly. It only takes that one time. And I think that's the thing about consent that a lot of people don't get. Is, and this was brought up in that discussion yesterday, was that it changes, it evolves consistently. And to even be in this industry, to be in a position of, I know you perform also, not just direct. So as a performer, to me, I don't think that you should even be allowed to perform if you aren't smart enough to put, I know how good it feels. I have a cock. I know what it feels like when you slide it in somewhere and it's nice and wet and warm. But if your brain turns off and you don't pick up on signs of her wincing because you're hitting her fucking cervix or you're pushing too hard, or it's, even though it's not hurting you, it's not quite wet enough and it's dry enough to tear her. If you're not paying attention to that shit and all you're thinking about is you, I don't think you should even be fucking performing, because you can't pick up on the fact that if you're doing that, then if you push past the limit and you're not paying attention to all the fucking signs, you just broke consent. And again, that goes, if there's sex and there's no consent, there's rape. That's it to me. There's no gray. That's black and white.
The thing is, there's no vetting process in porn aside from if you have a big dick. And then if you're marketable, then right. You're in. At the end of the day, if you have like a substantial package and like you look good into society's views, like you can get in the porn industry. Staying in the porn industry is the harder part. And it's definitely, you have to be able to read people. You got to understand body language. And it's like, you know, it's a part of the job. Like, you know, you get to have sex with people, but you also need to be good in understanding everyone, because everyone's different. Like, you know, you got to take pride in being able to have sex different types of ways. Like, you know, I can't just fuck every single girl rough. And every girl doesn't like, you know, super romantic sex. People like something different, but that goes in with the communication. A lot of the times in porn, it's like a blind date situation where, you know, you're just like, oh, here's Ricky and here's Samantha. You guys just met, right? Okay, go have sex. It's just like, hey, it's cool, but like, you know, you need to talk to Samantha. I don't know anything about her. So it's just like, if I just go in like have sex with her rough like I did Beth, who loved that shit, Samantha might not like that. Samantha might have PTSD, and like she has every right to not like either being slapped on the face or certain things. It's my job to communicate. It's my job to understand what pleases her, you know, because it's my job to please her. So it's just like, I can't just like think for myself. I can't just think for my dick. That doesn't work. And a lot of guys do that. A lot of guys are just like, my dick first. That's it.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, and that's why you get some of these situations that we have right now.
Exactly. I feel like, excuse me, that I feel, and I said this yesterday, again, in the collective, I keep referencing it because it just happened yesterday, but it was that the male ego seems to be the problem with most of what's going on in our industry anyway, because it's that ego of, I'm going to wreck that pussy. I'm going to own that pussy. I'm going to make that pussy squirt. Whatever the bullshit claim to fame that they want, and you know as well as I do, there's plenty of those guys out there that's their main goal, is to make themselves look good and make her just fold down into a puddle of nothing and go, oh, I love you so much because you fucked me so good. And I don't know. I maybe it's because I'm older, because I was a smart ass in my 20s. I thought I wasn't in the industry. I was in a band. So I had that mentality of, I'm going to fuck her. But I was also, it was the one time thing and we moved on. But there was always still that's good. Okay, we're good. Because I've always kind of been into the rougher stuff. But the fact that people are so, they just don't give a fuck. They're so self-absorbed. They're not even paying attention.
Yeah, no, I've definitely seen it, because I've been on a lot of gangbang sets, and the testosterone on there is fucking, it's huge. Like, and those are like my first scenes. Like, I learned from the get-go. Like, it's like, you know, it's definitely, everyone's trying to be the alpha, you know, mm-hmm. Everyone, because there's always an alpha. There's the one, for, you know, so everyone's trying to be that guy, but you don't have to, like, you know. It's like about, it's very interesting, because you just see everyone just like trying to one up each other and like competing, and like I would like to do a gangbang where like we're all on the same page. We're like, let's please the fuck out of this woman. Let's all take a fucking part of her body and just like make it feel good. You know she would fucking love that. But instead, a lot of the gangbangs are like, it's like, who can fuck her harder? There's nothing wrong. I mean, if she likes that, she likes that. But it's like there's no, most of the time, there's no like giving a fuck about the woman, really. It's really just like, who can I look the best so that the director can see me, so that like I can get some more shoots, so I can finally start working by myself and not being in gangbangs anymore. As opposed to like, if we're here to please her, let's please her. It's right. Like, it's not like that.
Which sounds hot as fuck. That sounds hot.
Yeah, like, so like, I'm down for a gangbang to where like we're all on the same page. Like, we get in the huddle and we're looking at her. We're like, yeah, we're gonna fuck the shit out of her. You get the ass, you get the vagina, you get the mouth, you play with the ears, you crush the neck, you play with the toes. Like, but that would be fucking amazing. I want to shoot some shit like that. I promise you, I will.
It would be hot. I shot with MindGeek for a little bit. I did about a year stint with them. And they were a great company. They were all, everybody was cool. The main guy, Ryan, was always fucking super legit with me. But there was, seems like there was this disconnect as far as like home base opposed to on set. And that comes with any time a huge corporation is trying to run something that they're not as familiar with, but they seem to always listen. But the one thing that I learned when I was doing this, because, you know, with kink and bondage stuff, we always, there's a limit sheet and here's everything that could possibly happen. And you say yes or no, or maybe, and then we have this huge conversation and then we talk about it two or three times. And then I tell the models every time, so this is solid for me. I don't get to make any changes. But at any point, if you say I love to be slapped in the face and then I come in and slap you in the face, you don't want it today, say so and it's done. So the consent had to be able to be able to change and to be fluid. And so when I started working with MindGeek and just shooting, you know, regular porn, and I would sit the models down and say, okay, so what do you like? What do you like? What do you not like? What do you not want him to do? What do you not want her to do? And they were like, why are you asking us this question? I was like, you two are about to fuck. And as far as I know, you've never fucked or even met each other. How about the same thing you said? How about let's just find out what each other likes, so that way you don't call her a bitch or she doesn't stick her finger in your ass or whatever the situation is that the other person may not like. And it seemed to just blow people's mind that I actually asked them what they wanted rather than just telling them what to do.
Yeah, the culture in porn is just a certain way. It's definitely that blind date. Let's just go. You're assuming that these people understand each other and you just can't. Even if you work with each other like multiple times, you still got to ask. It's five, like a little quick 2-5 minute checkup would save you so much trouble as opposed to like fucking ruining a lot. Like it's worth it. It's worth it to communicate. I think it's definitely going to happen now because they found out how bad it is. So, you know, but it has to be done.
Yeah. And I think we're moving in the right direction. I think that we've gotten the call out, and I say that I've said this several times on the podcast. I have never been sexually assaulted, so I don't know if calling out is the right thing. I don't know if being quiet is the right thing, but what I do know is it's the right thing for the person doing it that has been sexually abused. So I'm going to stand behind them, because whether no one else can dictate what's right for you, because if that's the time and that's when it had to come out and how it had to come out, then that's the way it should be. And I feel like we're moving in the right direction. But there's also been backpedaling, you know, because there was, I forget the kid's name. He was a male performer, and there was an actual petition to where they signed it and they got him kicked off of Pornhub. And every time I tell this story, I feel like fucking, did you ever see the movie Friday?
Yeah.
Kind of like, how the fuck did you get fired on your day off? It's the same thing. You know how bad you got to fuck up to get fired from porn? Like, there's been some people that have done some gnarly shit in this industry and they're still working.
Stories and people are still around, yeah. But like they signed a petition to get you a porno. That means like, yes, you deserve it.
Yeah, you were fucked up beyond anything else. That you actually got your shit pulled off of Pornhub. That's the ultimate fuck up.
That's shit. That's like you're probably gonna go to jail.
Yeah, at that point, you might as well hope that Ron Jeremy is saving you some space. God damn it. So, oh shit, I almost clicked away. So let's see. You said you got in the industry in 2015.
Yeah, late 2015.
All right. So you're not even full 5 years yet.
Yeah. About to be soon. Oh, man. 5 years goes by quick. Woo.
Dude, I just started my 17th year in June. Like June 27th was the start of my 17th year. And I'm just like, fuck, I feel like I just got here. And I'm fucking 17 years almost.
Oh, man. 5 years.
Yeah. So it's a... So, from what you have seen, what are some of the things that you think, because you're very vocal about, you know, how you feel about the situations that are going on. What have you seen that you think is most important that needs to change in this industry right now?
Two things. There's a very, like, in terms of like the racism in the systematic racism in the industry, it's more so like, I think one thing that's very important is that we need new companies and we need new things. I think the things that have been built in place, I think a lot of these companies are trying to fix things, but at the end of the day, it's like you have a tree that's like has these terrible fucking roots. So it's gonna take some time, and people want to see change now. So it's not gonna be an automatic quick change with these companies because they have bad habits. Like, you know, if you're trying to teach somebody and they get scared or nervous, they're just gonna go back to what they knew, and it's the bad habits. So I think it's very important that people work on new companies. I have a company that I'm working on that's going to come out like late next year. So, you know, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm helping to do my part. But a lot of people need to focus on making new companies, new websites that have the new culture. That's like the biggest thing that you can do is just add more to the porn world. Right. And it's just educating, because a lot of times, unfortunately, there's not that many black producers. And at the end of the day, the people that are like making the content are the producers. And if they don't understand the culture, or they don't really truly know what's going on, then they're not really going to like help the situation, you know?
Right.
So it's just like you got to educate them or just add to it.
And I think unfortunately, there are some people. Because even before I started making porn, I was selling it. So I used to work at a porn store in Atlanta, and it's a weird road of how I got to where I am now. But it wasn't when I was working there. I never was like, you know what? I want to start making my own. That wasn't the case. I ended up dating some broad who was a model, and I got introduced. And next thing you know, I was on camera. But I feel like, and it's not as bad as it. I wouldn't even say bad, but it's not as it was, because forever it's for the people of color. It's always been a minority. It's always been a stereotype. It's always been, what the fuck was that one that forever ago? It was, I don't even know if it's still around, but there was a line that was like big black dicks and little blonde chicks or something like that. That was, so yeah. There's, and I say this all the time, you never hear anybody say BWC. That's not, and there's some big ass white boys out there too, but it's always like you got to call it the big black dick, like you, and it's always been weird to me. And I took a stand once I started realizing that using words like ebony was offensive, using words like exotic are offensive. And to me, I was like, you know, this is just it's a way to describe, but it's like I don't use exotic on white girls, and I don't use white to describe them. So I stopped doing it, and I made it clear to Kink. I was like, because you know, you can say what you want to say and write what you want to write about like the copy and stuff, but if they want to change it, they're going to change it. And I told him, I was like, if I shoot people of color and you decide you're going to change the title and put that in there, I will go public and I will lose my fucking mind. And I'll make it clear that I didn't use these words, and you're the fucking one doing it, and you're the one perpetuating it. And they were like, no, 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 no. And they've stood beside that, which I thought was good.
I fuck with that. I mean, the biggest thing for me is like just normalizing it. You just got to normalize it. You know, like I say, like there's like what, three websites that I can think of right now that cater to the African American community. And if you take those websites away, then it's just like, where are we working? You know, to be honest, like what websites do you see us on? Right. If you go to these like popular websites that are not, they're not the three that are catered to black people. You're not going to find a black person on the website until you get to like maybe one in a couple pages. It's because like, you got to normalize. You just got to like treat us like regular humans, you know. At the end of the day, we're just, you know, white and black. The only thing that separates is melanin, geographical location. That's it, you know. It's just like a redhead and a blonde. You don't treat them like, oh, fuck, redhead, you know. It's right. Just that's stupid. At the end of the day, at the very end of the day, it's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But it's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of time, unfortunately. But, you know, I'm here for it. I'm here for this long run.
I love that. How do you feel about the term interracial? Do you think, because there's a lot of mixed things, a lot of people are like you should get rid of it, a lot of people are like no, you should save it, and it's kind of it's very mixed. And so I'm kind of curious, where do you stand on that term as far as it being in the industry?
If you're going to keep the term interracial, make it what it is. Like is it in porn, interracial is a black guy and a white girl. That's as simple as it is. Right. And then if you ask somebody who's not in porn interracial, they won't say, oh, that's a black guy and a white girl. They won't say that. They'll say like, oh, it's different race. So if you're going to keep the term interracial, just like, you know, have everyone who's like different races a part of the term, you know, have Asians, Latinos, and like if you have someone that's just like different races, then just do it that way. But don't just like make it particularly two races and like a black guy and a white girl. That's the big, huge problem.
Well, it's specifically, it's the white girl that's it's interracial with, because the black man is not getting paid extra. As far as I know, I've never seen a black man get more money for fucking a white girl. I've never seen a black woman make more money for fucking a white person. Oh,
yeah. It's fucked up. I heard they're changing that though. I've been on a call with agents, and we pressed them, and they said that's out. They said that no longer they're going to do their part. Cause I've been saying the agents have been a huge problem for this whole situation. A lot of these situations have been the agents. But they've been getting pressed lately, and to my knowledge, they said that they're going to stop doing that. They also said that they're going to stop making a huge point and putting like IR, does IR in the tag of the woman, because that, like, you know, you got to normalize it. Like, a boy girl should mean like a guy and a girl, you know,
right.
Instead of a boy girl. And then you separate it to like, oh, also black people, you know, that right there is like a small little subconscious separation. You get to take these small things away, then it no longer becomes a problem. After time, it's going to take time, because people have been in the industry for 20, 30 years and they've seen some shit and they're like subconsciously a little racist. So it's just like, you know,
or a lot of racist. Give them time.
Yeah, or a lot of racist. So, you know, you got to give them time. But the more important thing is the new people that come in, their experiences, you know, because like it's going to be a giant wave of porn people coming from when things go back to normal. We're going to see the biggest class of porn stars you've ever seen in the history of porn, because of OnlyFans and all this stuff that's going on. There's going to be so many new porn performers. So it's very important that we talk about the culture now, so when they come in, they understand that things aren't the way they used to be. And then they can be like the new foundation. That's very important.
It is. I talked with my videographer. Him and I have both been doing this about the same amount of time. And we kind of correlate us being crew members, even though I perform, not like you. I keep my pants on. I'd embarrass myself if I took my pants off, but him and I have been doing this for like 16 plus years, and we kind of started thinking about it, and we were like, you know, we're kind of like almost like college professors, in a sense that you have a class that comes through. So you have someone that shows up and they just rock it for 4, sometimes 5, 6 years, and then they're done and they move on. And then you get this new class. And after, because you've been 5 years now, so you're probably not starting to notice that some of the old school, you know, girls are moving away, and some of the new, there's a new class coming in, and suddenly there's going to be the next Danny Daniels or Anna Fox or Angela White or whoever, this high end, that someone's going to come up through the fucking ranks. And then once they hit stardom, they're going to fucking move on and go do their own thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to see that this class, like you're talking about, is coming in that is not going to be putting up with this bullshit and has already started their own thing. And that's the beauty, is the fact that we now are in a position that we, or mainly the other performers, because I don't have OnlyFans that I do a lot with, but you have OnlyFans. You don't need MindGeek. You don't need Kink. You don't need fucking Vixen and all of these other motherfuckers, because you already do your own thing. You already got your own brand. And now you can say, hey, agent, go fuck yourself. You don't do that to me anymore. You don't have to put up with their shit, because most people forget the agent works for you. You don't work for the fucking agent.
Yeah, no, this new, the OnlyFans way has changed the game, because it's given the performers the ability to like have some stability. You know, a lot of times they won't, some people need the money and they're like, I don't really want to do that, but I need the money. Now it's just like, especially if you have a brand and you're like a popular performer, the company has to bring something to the table. It's definitely a collaboration. You know, you guys are like working for each other. The company wants you, and you want the company to promo it. So it's just like, you guys are like, it's like a team. It's no longer like, oh, I need this, can you please hire me? It's just like, okay, we'll work together. I like that. I like that it's more of a collab than like, you know, I need this company and the company needs me type shit. So,
right. And I definitely feel like it's more now that the companies are realizing that they need talent more. Because it was used to, it's like, oh, look at us, we're, you know, and Kink's always been kind of, and that's why I think one of the things, besides me being a dirty pervert who likes tying people up and torturing them, but it's the something about the BDSM world has always been so focused on consent and so focused, and not always, there's bad apples everywhere, but, you know, I've said this before too, Ice Cube quoted this, like, when all the shit was hitting the fan here recently, and he was like, you know, everyone's talking about these bad apples, time to trim the tree, motherfucker. And that's the way I feel like it is. It's like, you know what? There's always going to be a bad apple somewhere. Cut those motherfuckers out. Get rid of them. And let's keep moving in the direction and let this shit blossom. But we got to trim the tree.
Yeah, 100%. And I will help. I'm going to get my fucking, you know, I'll be right there trimming that shit.
Or like even to use the reference you used earlier, if we got to, we'll fucking just replant another one and chop that motherfucker down. The one with the bad roots, cut it down, burn it.
Yes, it's very important that we make new trees. That's like my biggest thing, is like new companies, new bosses, new owners. That's so fucking important.
Well, that's go ahead.
If not, we're just at the liberty. We're just like we're begging people that don't give a fuck about us to like change. At the end of the day, you're like, yo, can you please help? And they're just like, nah, it's a business. You know, you don't do that. Just fucking make your own fucking company. I know it's hard, but it's worth it. It's fucking worth it.
Yeah, Lance Hart, I saw that you retweeted the thing that he had started. He came to me and asked me if I'd be part of it. And I was like, I was honored, because I was like, fuck yeah, because it's the same thing. If you can take people and give them every tool, because most people, Nobody came to you and was like, hey, Ricky, so here's exactly how you're going to make it. You had to learn the shit. You had to figure it out. And then you had to have the integrity and the fucking, the heart to want it and to go after it by any means to get what you needed. And instead of having to fight for it and work for it, especially people of color, because, like, you know, Lance makes it very clear. He's like, you know, I got a lot of the information because I'm a white guy. He was like, and I see my friends of color and they don't even get, the people won't even look at them twice. He's like, so I'm going to give you everything. And he was, and I was like, dude, I'm right here. I'll do whatever. I'll help do the same thing, because if enough people of color get, start their own shit and start doing things, the narrative completely changes. Like, the whole fucking thing changes.
100%. Like, I think gatekeepers are a huge fucking thing. And Lance Hart, like, I have so much love for that guy. Like, cause he hit me up and then, like, I was like, oh shit, like, this is perfect. Yeah. I'm going to sponge up all this information. Like, I've been on those Zoom calls and, like, and I'm learning. That's why I'm going to be able to start my company. It's just like, I've always wanted to, but I truly just didn't know how or what to do. And, like, all those conversations we have taught me. And I was like, oh, it's not that hard. I can knock this out. It lets me know the price, what I got to do, who I got to talk to and all this stuff like that. I remember this girl who hit me up, or she had something on Twitter. She was like, I want to make a subscription site. And I immediately hit her up and sent her a link to Lance's thing. Cause it's like, and now she was like, oh my God, this is like a legitimate thing. She thought it was going to be like something like, you know, this is how you do it. But this is something that she was like, oh man, I can now start my own like legitimate website. And it's just those little small things. Like the information that Lance is going to give me, it's my duty to give this information to everybody else so that everyone has an equal playing field. Right. Cause that way everyone has the opportunity, you know. It's not, people that like quote unquote make it, they just keep going and then, you know, focus on themselves. But, like, you know, I want to make sure that everyone eats, give everyone an opportunity, and you do what you want with it. You know, you might not, you see the information, you might not do anything with it, but at least you have it and you have the opportunity. Yeah. Or you can give it to somebody else.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I actually use that exact line a lot. I'm actually pretty big fan of the, I want everybody to eat. I'm the same way. Like, it's, you sit at my table and I want you to eat, and the table's big. There's enough room for everybody. But sometimes I put this on Twitter, but sometimes you got to sit down and shut the fuck up and listen. But at the same time, it's like everybody, I want to see everybody succeed. And I said this recently to someone else. It's like, you know, being the best at what you do puts you on top. But being on top sucks if you can't have people up there with you. Like, it's being, you know, that, fuck that. I want to look around and have everybody with me. And I want to, and if they're not, then I want to turn around and put my hand down for anybody that's willing to grab it and put the work in to come up there with me.
Yeah. That thing, that's like a Jay-Z quote too, or a J. Cole quote, was just like, you know, if all your homies ain't there with you, then are you really successful type of thing? Right. So it's just like, I fuck with that. Cause I want to enjoy the success with all my peers and especially people of like nature who are also good people. And then we can just add more good people to the industry. That's what I want, you know?
Yeah. And like you said, if we can get rid of, or at least have the people who, and it's the same thing as like the government in the United States right now. You got these old white motherfuckers that are running it. And I know I'm white. I'm very aware of that. But I also am someone who is adapting and learning. And I didn't get somewhere stuck and was like, fuck it, I know everything and I'm going to stop. Like, I'm constantly going, oh, you know what, that's stupid, and that's not a smart way to think about things, or that's not a good way to look at things. Oh, that, and listen to other people and say, oh shit, you know what, they're right and I'm fucking wrong. So having people who are in charge, these bigger companies or bigger owners or whatever, to have them smart enough to go, all right, maybe I need to start paying attention because this is changing, and if I'm going to stay in this and be successful, I got to change with it.
100%. Yeah, there's a new way of, like, the situations that happen outside society have put a microscope on the industry, and that's why everyone's like, at the moment, you know, everyone's definitely gonna change because, like, they know everyone's watching. My thing is, like, I just hope in a couple months from now, when things are like back to, you know, like in some sense of normalcy, that people keep the same energy. It's very important, you know. And if not, then, you know, we're gonna add new stuff, you know. It's gonna change no matter what, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I think the term you used earlier, like the gatekeeper, is like, if you, it's, you know, it's the same thing with like BLM that's happening right now in America. What's happening around the world, but it's very specific right now to America. And it's, you know, I follow lots of people on social media, and every once in a while somebody pops up and like, hey, it's not over just because it's not on your timeline anymore. It's still here. It's still happening. And it's that keeping it going and perpetuating and making sure that it stays up here. So people realize, don't just because it's not happening, don't forget about it. And that's the thing to like with, even with this, it's like, if we don't stay on top of it, it'll slowly start slipping back. And if we don't keep calling people and empowering models to say, hey, fuck that so-and-so, and call them on it and have a place that they can go talk to people and say, it's kind of like the little brother going to the big brother. It's like, hey, that motherfucker's picking on me. come on, show me who it is. And that way we have an, knowing that they have an industry behind them that's going to go step up and go, you get the fuck out. We're not putting up with your shit anymore.
Yeah, no, these girls need someone to like, they just need people to listen and be able to like help them, you know, so they know that they're being heard and people can have their back, you know. We need more mentors too. Like, I want to mentor some of these male talents, but I know that's the ego thing. That's going to be, I know that's some maybe tough because some people are like, oh, you, I know what the fuck I'm doing. You can't tell me, you know, so it's interesting.
Yeah.
I got a homie Lil T. That's my little protege because I know he's a good guy. He's like, he's fucking like 19 and he's like, he's going to grow up in this industry, you know? I know, like, and mindset, like, when I was like fucking 22, I had a different mindset than I do now. So it's just like, I want to make sure, like, he has someone good in his ear, you know? So it's important that you have someone that's like, not telling you bullshit. He's letting you know, hey, watch out for this. Like, you know, don't make the same mistakes I did. That's important.
Yeah.
But it's hard to find.
And having them and being a mentor and being in a position to where people can, they'll trust you. They're sitting there going, yeah, I want to talk to Ricky because Ricky knows and Ricky's been there and look how successful he is. So he's doing something right. So I feel working to a point and becoming like, using you as an example, is becoming successful. I mean, you're 5 years in, dude, you fucking, you're contracted with one of the biggest companies out there and you're fucking making your own site now. Like you're leaps and bounds above a lot of the people that are doing this in a short time frame. And being someone that the people can look up and go, I respect this guy and I want to be like him and I want to get to where he is and be successful. And then maybe that's the way that they'll start looking. But the problem is, like you said, it's the fucking ego, man. That fucking ego kills everything.
Yeah, yeah. Trust me. I know. I talk to people sometimes and you just tell they have egos. It's, I mean, I get it. You know, it's the industry where it's just like, it's a sex industry and the sex requires an ego. You got to be cocky in some kind of sense, but it's just like, you know, I don't know how to fix that one, but you know, that, I mean, that's why I say maybe if I set example, I'll lead by example. If I do enough to where like, okay, you have to respect this guy, then I can let you know.
Right.
Hello. It says poor connection. Are you still here?
I'm still here. I can still hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. It said poor. Okay. I got scared. I was like, no.
No, I was still hearing you.
But yeah, yeah, no. So just like, you know, I just want to lead by example. Just, and everything I know, everything I learn on the way, it's going to give the information right back. So that way you can do the same path as me and even like fucking jump over a wall that I didn't see coming and go further, you know?
Right. And I think that's the thing is I feel like, you know, I was talking to my wife yesterday after after the consent thing was over with. And I was like, you know, I love that the conversations are happening, but after 16 years, 17 years, I'm tired of talking. I'm ready to start walking. Like it's time for us to start doing something. And I reached out to, I say Cinnamon only because she's the one that set up BIPOC. But I emailed during the thing and was like, hey, I'm here. Whatever I can do, I want to offer up anything, and whether it's services, whether it's my voice, whether it's my experience, whatever it is, I want to be part. I want to help. So whatever you need me for, please reach out and, you know, because I don't want to assume that I'm going to be the one that they're going to ask to do this or ask to do that. But I want to make it very clear that whatever I can do, even if I'm nothing more than fucking powering a signal to get it further out that something that's already done and me just shutting my fucking mouth, I'm fine with that. But I was like, I want to be part of the solution and not sitting here just fucking talking about it anymore.
I love that. Yeah, no, it's important. I mean, because I think there's no porn union in porn, but I think there's enough people to get together, you know. So there's some couple of performers of us that we've gotten together and we're like, has this like performer thing on WhatsApp. We're always talking about the issues that are happening. Like if we see a girl that's like sad or something happened, we reach out to her, or reach out to Pineapple and for her, you know? So it's just like, we all got to come together. If we've been in this industry and this industry has given us success, then I think it's our duty to make sure that we allow it to be successful for other people as well. Like, we can't just be selfish and just like walk away. Like, okay, yeah, I was in here. I made a whole bunch of money. I'm rich now. Now, like, you know, fuck everybody else. Like, no, this industry allowed you to have a certain kind of lifestyle now. So, like, pay for it, you know, pay back.
Yeah.
Do your part.
Because it is. It's like, you know, we've been saying, this is our industry. And this reflects directly because, you know, people, and I've had to defend it. When I tell people what I do, they're like, oh, you mean, and I'm like, no, that's not me. And then you got to make the fuck, well, it's the bad apple. And it's like, I'm sick of making those fucking excuses. I want it to be, and I don't know, man, maybe that's something that after this we can talk and maybe even, you know, reach around and see if we can find other people that are interested and maybe try and figure out some type of mentorship to set up to where it's, hey, there's no, don't bring your fucking ego in here. You can ask anything and we're willing to sit down and talk and help you, whether it's about consent, whether it's about, hey, how do I deal with this or as a male performer, or how do I deal with this as a director producer? And if they're willing to check their ego and come into the conversation that way, I mean, just like with the situation with Lance, I'm willing to give you. I everything that I have is worthless if I can't share it to help somebody else.
I know. I agree. Yeah. No, I want. Yeah. We should talk about that. I want to see if we can maybe like set up a Zoom call or something. Just have all the male talent just like, you know, just talk and just talk about consent and gray areas and problems that they had and like questions. And, you know, we all talked because like sometimes the male talent, like I never see them. We never see each other. You know, it's just like, you know, you just do your thing and you don't know what's going on. People like it's a mental sport, you know? So it's just like, it'd be good to like talk to other people and they might have the same issues. Like, oh yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Oh yeah. We should all come together, you know, do maybe like some kind of event. I think it'd be cool. Like, you know, maybe like a day at the park or something, or just something where we all are come together and just hang out. It's like a unity type thing. Cause it's a family, but we should all come together. And if we're all together, we'll talk more. We'll understand more problems. We're less likely to be on that bullshit because we'll all protect each other, you know? So that'd be good. That'd be important.
Yeah. And it is. And it's like you just said, it's protecting each other. It's looking out for each other. And at the same time, then it opens up to saying, hey, you know, I've been hearing this thing about, you know, Joe Schmo. And then you're like, fuck, I heard the same thing. And you start, and because as male performers, 99% of the time, I feel like with me anyway, is I'm not there, but I hear these stories and I keep hearing the same story about the same motherfucker from all of these random girls. And it's like, all right, this is a small industry. There's not that many of us, but we are so fucking separated at times. It's ridiculous. But to keep hearing these same stories, and it's like, but then you hear, you know, like you were saying earlier, you know, the 998 of them say it's okay, but the two that said it's wrong, you know, and it's kind of that situation. You've got so many like, oh, no, I love that dude. He's great. But then there's a small handful of girls that are like, he's a piece of shit. He tricked me to go into the bathroom and then shoved his cock inside. I mean, kind of shit like that. And just for the record, everybody that's listening and watching, this is fucking, we're talking about this openly. This is not just the porn industry. This is every fucking industry in the world. We're just the ones talking about it.
Yeah, no, 100%. I have an actor friend because I'm out here in Turkey getting hair surgery, and he's an actor, a legitimate actor. And he was saying, like, we were talking about stuff. You know, like the acting industry is just the same. It's just as corrupt. All these industries are like fucked up, and they're all working on their own like situation. So you know, it's everywhere. There's corruption everywhere. Politics is just fucking fucked up people everywhere.
Yeah, I think it's a time for change. I was talking with someone recently, and they were talking about it's just kind of some deep shit for a second. She was talking about how that the Last Supper, that the 12 apostles actually represented the zodiac signs, and that we are going into the age of Aquarius right now. And if I remember the word she said it was, that basically saying that all the systems are about to get torn down. Like there's about to be a fucking re-up on everything. So, and it seems like we're kind of headed that way with every fucking thing that's happening.
I hope we don't, but it also seems like we're towards a civil war as well with everything that's going on in the world. If one more thing is like recorded that's like fucked up, I think we'll go into like some kind of civil war. You know, it's just it's bad right now. It's such a divide, such a leaderless movement, and just like, well, it's not such a leaderless movement. Like we're all the mini leaders, but it's just like everything is just so fucked up.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah, the government in the United States is, well, what there is of a government, what's the word I'm looking for? The institution that's called the government, but the fact that there's no real leader, there's a fucking chicken shit bag of crap that's supposed to be running this country, and all that fuckhead is doing is sitting around endorsing whatever Republican he wants is fucking running for Senate and or whatever, and he's sitting around saying, fuck you, we're going to open the schools or I'm going to stop funding. Bitch, you don't even have the fucking power for that. You're going to sacrifice our fucking country's children, but you're going to pull your buddies out of fucking prison, you fucking asshole.
Oh. Yeah, it needs to get, yeah, we're too, the citizens are too left too much in the dark. They obviously know something that we don't know and they need to tell us. Or, cause there's no way you can be like, oh, you got to wear a mask, you can't go here. Okay, but the kids, they can go to school even though this is a giant pandemic. So either you know something that you haven't told anybody or like, you know, it's really fucked up.
Yeah.
I think there's information that's just not being left out. I think maybe like they fucked up in some of the things with the pandemic. Maybe they've been classifying anything that you die at, that like somebody dies for like actual like a different sickness and like, okay, give them COVID, say it's COVID. And that runs up the numbers. I don't know, but there's too much information that hasn't been given, And then there's too much clickbait information. Like, so I don't know where to find any source of like information anymore, because even like the mainstream news sources have like relegated to like clickbait, where they just like, they're trying to get people to like, oh, watch the information. Like, oh, look at this. This happens. And I remember I looked at like an article, and I went through like 5 minutes of bullshit to find out that it was just a bullshit article, and that the fucking title had nothing to do with the story. And I was like, that's annoying. I wanted to like learn something, and this has nothing to do with anything. And that's just like all news now. So it's just like, what the fuck are we doing? And that's like, then people aren't getting educated. Then you just have people that just like don't know what's going on, and then it's like biases, and it's just like the sheep are just like flocking everywhere. Bah, bah, you know, it's terrible.
Yeah, I've seen the same thing, and I on Facebook, you've got people who are. There's the ones who wear a mask and are so, and I actually have a friend, she just recently, after, since March 11th, so after, what is it, like 120 plus days or something, she's finally comfortable enough to walk outside of her house because she was so fucking scared, which there's nothing wrong with being educated and having a healthy fear, because that's what keeps us alive, is being smart enough to know, I better watch out for that. But hers was over the fucking top, and which I sympathize with her, but then I also fucking pity people who... they bought into this fucking asshole who was like, well, he says wear the mask, but I'm not wearing a mask, so you don't have to wear a mask. Like, if that fucking asshole in the very beginning would have said, put on the fucking mask, that's the American thing to do for all of your American people, so we can all be the best country ever and still sell his Make America bullshit great again, people would have been like, okay, fuck it, I'm gonna wear a mask. And we probably have been over this, but since he, with his lack in leadership and any kind of intelligence at all, sat there and spewed off stupidity, we've got over half the country who, and you've seen it, I'm sure, all over social media, these screaming, especially motherfucking white dudes who are like, you can't make my, and now they think if they scream, you're threatening me, that they get to be this bigot piece of shit. And then you're like,
yeah, I saw one video of this dude who was yelling at this lady, and he yelled at her, and as he came approached her, he was like, "You're threatening me, you're threatening me." And I didn't like seeing that. I was like, that was a shitty video. It was,
well, yeah, it was the one where he was clamping his fist, right? It was like at a Costco, so,
yeah,
or something.
Like, walked up to the lady. Yeah, and he was like, "I'm uncomfortable," or something like that. He like walked up to her and then said some bullshit, and I was like, "Oh, this guy is not a good guy."
Yeah, no.
You just tell by that encounter, not a good guy.
Well, did you see what his T-shirt said?
Know what it
said? It said something like, because I too follow and dig deep about shit, because I'm not just going to take what somebody tells me. And I started looking around,
yeah.
And there was some place that I saw it, and he has a shirt on, and it says something like running shit since 1775 or being in charge. And it basically was this T-shirt that's very big in the white power community or the white supremacy community. And it's like, you motherfucker, like, you're blatantly wearing this racist fucking shirt, but without having, because to me, it's like, you know what, if you're going to do something, own it, own the fuck out of it, whatever it is, even if it's stupidity and hate, don't be a chicken shit motherfucker. If you're going to fucking do it, or don't.
An asshole. 100% asshole.
Right. So, but he's, you know, kind of chicken shit, you know, down low wearing the shirt, trying to, you know, let his brethren or whatever fucking know. And he's pulling this book. It just, it makes me fucking sick. It's the same way that you said earlier about the sexual assault thing. I'm the same way. Like, I want to walk up and slap a motherfucker in my mouth. But they're also going to be the people who, if you slap them in the mouth, they're going to cry and call a fucking civil suit on you and get a lawyer.
Yeah, 100%. But hey, you know, fuck it. Sometimes you got to say fuck it.
Yeah, so sometimes it's one, you know what? This one's worth it. I'm going to take this one.
This one. Certain people is like, you know what? I'll take one for the team.
Yeah. So I told my kid, I was like, if you ever see daddy hit someone, I was like, believe me, there's a reason for it. If it ever gets to a point where I put my hands on somebody, there's a damn good reason I did it.
Respect.
So, all right. So to kind of lighten this up a little bit, which I don't mind, I love talking about shit like this, but so everybody can kind of get to know more of Ricky than just the political advocate, which I think is awesome. What did it feel like when MindGeek approached? Did they approach you, or did you ask them if they wanted to like bring you on? Like,
they approached me, and I was fucking geeked. I was like, "Hell yeah!" I had other endeavors that I was working on because I really was like working on becoming a producer and director. That's like something like I really wanted to do, and I was like, "Okay, I think this is around the time." So I was talking with a different company, actually, and I was at AVN, and I was just meeting with a different company, and we were in agreement to me directing for that company. And I was like, okay. So I was excited about that. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm excited to like work on a new path. And then they had approached me, and they was like, hey, you want to like have a contract with us? And I was like, yes. I didn't even think about the other company. I feel bad, but I was like, yes, 100%. This, yeah. Yeah. Maybe, are you drunk? Oh, yeah, let's do it. Can you sign right now before you like change your mind? Because I haven't really worked with MindGeek that much. But then I found out MindGeek owns a lot of companies, and I found out I did work with MindGeek a lot. Because I used to think it was just browsers, but it's like, it's fucking a lot.
It's all of them, basically. Like,
yeah. And so I signed with them. And then, like, I fucking, like, I don't think I'm ever going to, like, leave in terms of, like, they're so great. Like the people at the top, they don't seem corrupt to me. Like they really care. I've had conversations with them, and they're willing to adapt and learn different things. And they promote you, and they're really good for like the talent. So I'm fucking ecstatic. And they allowed me to like have creative control and direct and produce. And that's the biggest thing for me. It's like I still wanted to work on producing and directing, because like my end goal is to be like a mainstream director. And so it's like I want to first be the best fucking possible porn director like there is, you know. So
now have you started writing your own stuff yet? Because I mean, to me, that's my thing. It's like I worked with MindGeek, and they're like, oh, here's this thing, and half the time I'm sure you've probably known this, and they I think they all know it as kind of this running joke that there's the script, and then there's what you can actually do. So have you
I've written every script for every scene I've produced for RK except for one.
Get the fuck out of here. That's fucking badass, dude. That's really awesome.
Done 13, and I've written the script for all of them except for one. That was one that they specifically, like, it was like a debut scene for somebody, and they particularly wanted something special. And so like that's why I'm really excited, because they allowed me, like, we have meetings, we talk, and I'm just like, I send them, because the thing is, we're producing, like, it's a lot of pre-production. And I think a lot of times, no disrespect to other producers, and there are some producers that like don't take it as serious as they should, because it's a legitimate, like, to have a really good product, you gotta spend some time, and the more time you spend before the scene, the smoother the scene is.
Yep.
And a lot of times and that also taught me a lot about other producers and other companies, is learning how it really works, you know, behind the scenes. Because sometimes I would get to a set, and yes, you're on set for like 13, 14 hours for like a regular boy girl scene. And now that I know why, it's some that the producer was slacking a little bit, and they may have gotten the script, they may have gotten something the day before, and they may have looked at it the day before. Or sometimes I've seen them look at it the same day. And that causes an issue, because like, you have to read the script. There's certain things that have to be done. And then you're telling the talent same day, like, oh, shit, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. And then they might be uncomfortable with that. And that could have been a quick fix if you spoke to them when you got the script. There's one crew that I'm not going to name, but, like, they never gave me a script until the same day, ever. The only company. I'm like, why? And I work from, like, at least, like, fucking 20 times. And every time I was uncomfortable, because I'm like, I don't know what's happening today. I'm going to this fucking scene, and I have no idea what's going on. It's like a fucking war zone. But yeah, I took it as a mental challenge, but it's just like, there are times where, like, this could have been a better scene if they just told me what the fuck's going on.
Right.
As opposed to me getting there, and it's like, okay, we're doing this, and, like, we're doing that. I'm like, okay, like, tell me, you know? One time we were on sales of threesome, and then me and the other two girls, we were so excited to have sex with each other, because we hadn't worked together, and it was, like, a great combo. And then we were there for like fucking 12 hours, and it was in a little warehouse, and it was really cold. And by the time we got to the sex, we were like, I just want to get home. Can we hurry this up? All of us were collectively like, let's just quick position. Let's just, you know, so it killed the scene a little bit, you know, because it's just like their like, you know, lack of productivity fucked it up for everybody else.
Right. I say this like, a lot too, is that the unfortunate part is that in this industry, it's a double-edged sword. I love that companies are like, hey, you're a performer. You've shown interest in directing. I want to give you a shot. And that's amazing, because now you have blossomed, and you're doing this fucking awesome shit. And you're, dude, like I said, I only did it for a year, and I only wrote like two or three of my scripts. And people were like, they're letting you write your shit? And I was like, I don't know. And there's people like, I've been doing this for 10 years. They don't let me write shit. And I'm like, I take it up with them. I don't know what to tell you. But it's, so like I said, it's like I lost train of thought all of a sudden. Damn it. Damn it. I hate when that happens.
Oh man, that shit destroys me. Don't worry. I mean, I'm here with you. I'm for the ride. We can hear an hour if we have to back, you know?
I was gonna say, it may come back in a second, but what the fuck was I going to say? Damn, I hate that.
We're talking about scripts. Lost it too.
Yeah. God damn it. But either way, it's like, you know, it's the, fuck. Like, it's just slipped all the way. Like, I was trying to hold on to the last little bit. It fucking went away. Damn it.
It was right there, and it was like, bye.
Yeah. As I'm saying it, it's going, no, you don't, bitch, and just ran right out of my fucking head.
That's the worst, saying something and it slips as you're saying it. Like, yo, what the, why are you leaving mid-conversation? What are you making me? Come back.
Exactly. Get the fuck back over here. I wasn't finished with you yet.
Holy shit. Yeah. No, but I mean, I think some producers, you know, need to like focus a little bit more on producing, you know, just saying fuck it and getting a paycheck. You know, I get it. You're doing it for the money, but sometimes have a little passion. There's a lack of passion sometimes in some of these producers, and you can tell.
Right.
It's just like, you know, terrible fucking day. I hate it. But that's why I can add myself to it now. I can help the problem by adding myself and, like, you know, less shitty producers.
Right.
And if I do a great job, I can set the tone. It's just like, oh shit, this person, you know, it's just, I don't know, things like that.
Yeah. I figured it out while you were saying that. I was like, it came back to me. The double-edged sword is that they give people a chance, and sometimes people like you show up and they really fucking take it by the fucking horns and they make it theirs and they own it. But then on the bad side of that is that because they hand this fucking title out, and that's not just it's everybody, every company does. They hand this title out of director, and then the ones that suck still get to hold on to that fucking title director, and they don't produce their shit right. They don't hire a producer to do it for them because their fucking budgets don't allow it, or they're too fucking stingy to give up that extra cash. Or the thing is, and I say this all the time, like, I earned my shit. Like, I started off cleaning dildos and cum off the fucking floor. You know, that's like, that's where I started, and untying shit. And little by little, I built up to where I was a director and learned how you take care of people, how you look after people, how a set's supposed to be run, how pre-production's supposed to happen, all of these things. How I can pick up a camera and shoot not as good as my videographer because he's a badass, but I've ran camera. I do photography. Like, I know all of these things. And at some point, this industry started handing that title out to people who figured out how to pick up a camera and aim it the right way. And I'm like, you're not a director, because all you're doing is the same thing as that ego as a performer. You're just trying to get what's yours and get the fuck out. You don't give a fuck about anybody on your set. And it drives me crazy, because this is, as a director, producer, this is a very high level fucking achievement to me. Like, you know, this is like, I unlock greatness to be called a director finally, and to them, for someone to just hand it out and say, okay, you're a director. And I'm like, you directed one movie that someone else wrote the fucking script for and told you what to do. I don't get it.
You're speaking the truth, man. It's also an ego thing. And if you have the title of a director and a producer, you should definitely don't take it lightly, because it's a legitimate position. And so, like, cater to it, you know, just like, you know, you're in a position to like help, like I said, people, when people look at porn, it's like a subconscious thing. And like, they look back to it in points of where they don't, like, they're like, where they don't know what's going on. Or if you, like, you forget, like, you're, I don't know, like, you look back at porn, like, porn is like so important to the world. You're not a part of that. Like, you're making content, you're making art that people are going to look at. So it's just like, understand that. Don't just like bullshit it, you know. I think it's a legitimate position. So don't just say fuck it over and be like, yeah, whatever.
I mean,
that happens a lot.
Yeah, it is. It's people like, oh, he's a director or she's a director, and it's to me, like I said, it's a high compliment to be able to walk around with that title as mine, just like I'm sure it is with you, and to have someone who shows up. And again, I don't mind that someone got, because I think it's amazing, because you may have had this amazing talent and no one gave you a shot. For whatever, oh, he's a performer, he doesn't know what he's doing. And having that kind of mentality, you may not have gotten the chance. So I love that they do give the opportunity, but then instead of saying, that didn't work, and pull back, they kind of let shit roll. And again, I'm not talking specifically about any certain company, it's just as an overall. And I don't get it, because it dilutes the title. And that's what bugs me. It's like, oh, they're like, oh, you're a porn director? Oh, yeah, I met a porn director a few years back, and they were blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, great, because that one asshole fucked it up for everybody.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's why you've got, like, yeah, it's another problem. It's something that it'll be fixed. The way you fix that is by just having more good producers and directors to compare to, because then it's just like you set the standard higher. You've got to set a higher standard. Because if you start, and then it's going to have to have a higher standard, because you have things, especially now in the industry, because you have things like OnlyFans and stuff like that, where you have a girl making like upwards of like fucking 100K a month or like 50K. It's just a small number. Let's do like 25 to 50K, which is not a small number. And you have them making that much money. They're not going to want to come to a set where your shit's not together.
Right.
It's as simple as that. Like, that's the thing. A lot of producers are going to, like, they're gonna find out, like, a girl's going to walk off set. She's like, I'm not going to be here 13 hours if you don't have your shit together. I can just make this money at home.
Yeah.
So, like, you have your shit. It's going to force people to have their shit together, which is what I'm all for. It's going to force you to be like, damn, I got to do my job better. Right. Or else this girl, this fucking big name girl is going to walk away because she can make the exact same money playing with the clit at home.
Exactly.
So,
and that's, and I think that's where we're moving to a change. Like, it's like, because of OnlyFans, Fan Central, all the, you know, the model having the power and the platforms now, I think it's it that the industry, and I talked to the guys at MindGeek about this, you know, a couple of years ago when I was working, and I told them, I was like, I feel like the industry has gotten to where it's either going to be this amateur style, and by and amateurs got real. I mean, you got fucking Mike Quasar shooting OnlyFans now for folks. Like, there's no amateur about that shit.
He called that too. He was like, I'm gonna be shooting OnlyFans in a couple months, and then he is.
Right. So you're either gonna have this model based porn that's still, and they're doing what they want, when they want, how they want, and having it look the way they want, and being able to hire Quasar or me, you know, and saying, hey, JP, I want to do some bondage shit. Can I come and rent your place and have you do? And basically, instead of me paying them, they're now paying me. And I'm just like, okay, whatever it takes, because we all got to survive. But there's either, and that's flourishing right now. And I think, like you said, if we don't step up as directors, real directors, not people who, you know, call themselves that, and have our shit together and have the best set possible and have them treated not like royalty, because I'm not trying to create diva mentality, but treat them with the highest level of respect and make sure they don't need anything and give them what they need and make them feel like they're special, because they are. It's just like with you as a performer. Like, without you, there's no performance. There may be, but it's not going to be as good as you can do it. And it's the same thing with the female talent. So we as directors, legit directors, have to keep our shit so tight, because it's going to, reputation's everything. Like, the fact that I have tortured people for over 16 years and I'm still around and still have I think it's a pretty good reputation.
You have a good reputation, because I've heard about you before I met you, and I heard nothing but great thing. So it's just like, that's a good, to my eyes, that's a good reputation.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. And I torture people. Like, I fucking beat people until they cry, and then they still love me somehow. So that's the most important thing. I tell everybody, without my reputation, I'm nothing. I mean, I don't care how skilled I am. If I have a shitty, if my reputation goes to shit, I'm done. I just pack it up and fucking walk away, and all that 16 years was for nothing. Like, it's gone. So I feel like, you know, staying, like you said, on that level, that if you have your shit together, then the model's like, all right, I'll take time out of what, I'll basically lose some of my money so you can make money, because I love the project and I love working for you and this company, rather than I got to get on a plane, I got to go to here, and I got to go do this shit. Like you said, 13 hours, I showed up and all I wanted to do was fuck my co-star, and now I just want to go home and eat pizza and go to fucking sleep.
Yes. Yes. And because if you are going to have a good product, they know that, okay, I'm working with this person and I know it's going to look fucking amazing. They put a lot of work into it. They put a lot of pre-production. I know the end result is going to look so fucking good. They're going to want to shoot for you. But if they, you know, if it's the opposite, you know, they're not. What reason why people wanted to work for Quasar so much, because he was so efficient. He was like, he can get four done in a day. You know, all you're doing is shooting a boy girl sex scene. It's no bullshit, you know, just like boom, 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 knock it out. And like, there's other companies like Caden Cross, like Deeper. I love working for Caden because I know it's going to be a fucking great product. Like, I know the end result is going to be nice. Like, it's a long day, but like, I see that it's a long day. We're always doing something. It's not a long day and I'm sitting like, I'm not waiting six fucking hours.
Right. Just,
you know, why didn't you, like, you know, you could have told me, I would have come at 6 p.m. instead of 11 a.m. if you would have told me. But like, that's the difference, you know?
Yeah. I got mixed feelings about her and that company, but you know, there's some shit, and everybody's, you know, you do you, but it's like, I tell everybody that, but it's like, as from a bondage person, like cause I've heard, from people that I respect as models, not just some random person coming to me going, JP, blah, blah, blah. Several people have come to me and had comments about it and shit that didn't seem so safe. And then there's the situation, you know, that went on with the banana gate, let's call it that.
Yeah, I've heard of that one. I haven't, yeah.
That one's rough. I don't know. If, I was going to say, if you don't know a lot about it, that's where, well, Rolling Stones just released an article. They wrote a fucking article about the shit.
I was part of it. I wasn't part of that part of the article, but I have a section in that article as well.
Okay. And again, this is one of those situations. I wasn't there, but I trust the people that I heard the shit from. And I'm just like, all right. But that was, you know what? That was, it's proof that, and Derek Pierce said this forever ago. I had him on the podcast and he was like, you really can't, until this guy that got fucking kicked off of Pornhub, until that point, you can't really get fired from porn. Like you, because we joked, he was like, name one person that's been fired from porn. I brought up like Mr. Marcus and the whole shit that went down with him about him faking his test. He's still working. Well, he was then, like that he showed up at AVN that year and people were like, hey, what's up, Marcus? Don't worry, homie. I got you. I'm going to book you. And it was like, you know what he just did. And then the shit with the allegations towards James Dean, still working. So it's one of those, like, you know, it's really hard to get fired, especially when you got enough money behind you.
And that's why people do fuck shit, I think. I think that's why they felt so, it felt, and not invincible, but it's just like, oh, well, you know, that's really gonna, it's because it's such an independency with this industry, is where like someone who has fucked up and it was no longer part of like the mainstream circle, they can start their own website and then still continue to like make money.
Right.
Which is unfortunate, because now it leaves like a, oh shit, okay, like this person's still around even though like no one's really fucking with them. But then you have these new girls that are coming in that have no idea what would happen with this person. And then now they're working with these new girls, and then it happens again. They're like, oh, what the fuck? This person is fucked up. But then there's a whole bunch of new girls that come in. It's just like, we got to educate. Right. There has to be some kind of system to where the new people understand what's going on. There's like a history. Like, you know, you have to be able to teach people like the history of porn. Like, hey, look, these people are fucked up. These people have literally been accused by like 45 women. That's enough to be like, yeah, this person is fucked. Like 45 women aren't going to lie. That's enough for me. Okay. Right. So it's just like, there has to be some kind of system to teach new people, or else it's just going to have the same problems over and over again.
Yeah. And that's what I think a lot of people are banking on. And to go back to, just to circle back to the Caden thing for a minute, I get it. Like, I see the shit they're doing. They're shooting on, it's the same, because people get sick of Lansky. He can say he quit all day long. Bullshit. Whatever happened, he's gone, and his replacement showed up in the form of Caden Cross. Money talks, bullshit runs a marathon. There's that what it is. I'll say it. But there is beautiful shit, but it's being shot on they're shooting shit that there's fucking Hollywood movies that aren't using the kind of gear these fucking people are for porn. So of course, and it goes to what you were saying, there's a pride, because you're like, fuck, I want to be in one of those movies because they look so fucking good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are going to be the ones out of all the Making the Donuts, all the Brazzers, all the fucking MindGeek, all the Kink, all the just update after update are fine and good. But the ones that people are like, I want to be remembered because I did that one. And that's the thing, I think, that a lot of people are willing to forego what they may or may not feel about a certain person or company, because they're like, I want to be part of that thing.
Exactly. So to combat that, you got to make another company that it has the ability to make something really, really great like that. You know, you don't let them be the only company that makes great shit. I mean, you know, there's ways,
yeah,
you know.
But legit, I'll tell you straight up, man, as long as I've been doing this shit, when I first started, I remember, you know, we had guys, male performers who were also, they would direct, and they would like come in to do a hustler movie, and they would rent my studio and my company studio in LA, and they'd come in with $50,000-$60,000 budget. And that was just an average movie back then in 2005 or so. And I was like, holy fuck, that's a lot of fucking money. And it was nothing to go around and do that kind of shit. Right. Cause it was like, this money is just fucking flying off the wall. It's not like that. You know what the budgets are. You know what the people are offering. And every company, yeah, depending on where you're at, there's not a lot left on the fucking, you know, hanging.
Yeah, $60,000 budget. Please. I'll give you some shit.
$60,000. Yeah, that's a fucking healthy. That would make Caden fall down and cry, because she'd be like, how did they do this? But that's the thing, is there's, I don't know. And there's all this, you know, there's all this fun speculation and all these, you know, people that are rumors and conspiracy theories that, oh, it's the Russian mafia or it's this mafia, because, and they're just laundering money through porn. Because I'm sitting there trying to think, MindGeek, as far as I know, is the biggest fucking company conglomerate out there. They're not throwing, sure, that. I don't think they're fucking, they don't have the production shit that fucking, because it's Vixen, right? Overall, it's like,
yeah, Vixen. Vix Entertainment Group.
Yeah. So that's what I want to know. Where is that money coming from?
Well, the thing is with MindGeek, because like I hit him up and I was like, I want to compete. Like I want to compete with Hayden. I think I need a little bit of a bigger budget because like my stance on Hayden, me and Hayden are cool. Right. But I want to compete. Like not like a like I just want to like I want us both like make good shit, you know. But like she's on a different level at the moment right now. But like MindGeek, they bring out like 70, over 100 scenes a month. That's the thing that I, you know. So it's like they shoot 2, 3, 4, 5 a month.
Right.
We shoot 100. So it's like if MindGeek only shot 4 or 5 scenes a month, yes, the budget would be fucking substantial. But they're so huge, so big, all their money is being spread out to like hundreds of scenes a month. So that's
all
like,
around the world too.
Yeah. So it's just, that's why it's a difference in there.
Right. And I don't know. I like the creativity. I mean, I've made a couple of movies that, you know, got awards and they were that over the top and shot. And like we spent days on location and it was all this creepy shit. And I had custom scary monster mask happening and all this other shit. And I had the script and I'm talking like 3, 4 months, maybe even some of them. One of them was like close to 5 months of pre-production because I was like, I got to do all of this in 4 fucking days. Like if I can't get this done in 4 days, I'm fucked. And as soon as go ahead.
Can you say, pre-production for like months?
Months.
Like I love that. That's what I fucking love to hear.
My last movie that I did, I wrote it 5, 6 years ago. I came up with the idea and I went and scouted we were all still at the Armory. And we flew down to Burbank, me and my videographer, we hopped in a fucking plane first thing in the morning. We met at the airport, flew down to Burbank, rented a car, drove an hour and a half up to this location, scouted for about an hour and a half, drove back to Burbank, dropped off the car, had a beer, hopped on a plane and came home. And then we decided the company started moving and twisting and I'm like, I'm not going to make my movie and give what is my pride right now. I'm not going to give that to them. Fuck them. Well, I'll hold off on this. Years pass. I go back to the CEO and I'm like, hey, look, this movie that I wrote that we started with, I have now actually made it into like this 35, 40 page script, like a legit script. I'm ready to make this movie. Let's talk about if we can get this, make this happen. And we did. And we sat down and did it. And it, like I said, it took 4 12-hour days. So 48 hours on a fucking location that was the side of a mountain. Basically, it was like, I'm trying to think of where the fuck it's in California. I forget where it's at, but it's an old gold mine that's been abandoned since like the fucking 50s. So it's just creepy as hell. And like I said, we shot all day. Some of like one day we started at fucking 12 just because we were going to be there into the night because we had a bunch of night shoots to do. And it was amazing. It was one of the fucking most amazing things in the world, but it was hellish. And it took that 3, 4, maybe even 5 months of pre-production to be able to pull everything off that we pulled off in fucking 4 days.
Yes. And then, but the thing is, like, you spent the pre-production was so fucking important. My thing is, some other like producers, they would have something of legitimacy, like something big like that, and they would spend maybe like 2, 3 days pre-production. And it's just like, then you get like, then you get a different kind of like 12 hour days where it's just like, what the fuck's going on? These people aren't working. What's going on? Like, you know, so it's just like, it's so important. Like, that's so fucking important because like, it shows the passion. Like, you put so much pre-production in, people can tell.
Yeah.
You can tell.
The problem is at Kink, as soon as because I did one, and then they were like, when are you going to do another one? And I did my second one, and they go crazy. They're like, we need this. And Kink's like, you motherfuckers don't spend enough money because that doesn't come. We can't do that for the same thing that we do, like, a regular update with that costs money. And unless all of you come over here and actually participate and get your ass off of Pornhub and all these other tube sites and pay for your porn, we can't do it on that level. And that's the thing. Everyone wants that high-end shit like Caden did or like the movie that I did. But most of the time, people aren't willing to spend the money.
Yeah.
So, but like you said, start your own shit. You make your own fucking movies. And if it's done right, which it sounds like it's going to be, fucking MindGeek will be like, okay, look, we know this is your movie. Can we work out a distribution deal? Or can we do like, the people are going to find a way to want to fucking do everything they can to get their hands on it.
100%. And that's the path I'm going to walk.
I love it, man. I love it. All right, let me see. I got any more questions over here? I think that's it. We talked about the MindGeek deal. you, when I first started following you, were what was your handle before you? I just looked at it to where it's now Ricky Behavior, and I'm like, fuck, I just forgot. Was You're the Ricky?
You're the Ricky.
What made you change it?
I don't know. I'm in Turkey right now, and I've had a lot of like self reflection, even during this whole quarantine. Just like being by myself in a foreign country where English is like not even existent. It's not even like a second language over here. And just being cooped up in this little hotel and just like doing work. And I'm just like, it's not like a rebrand, but it's just like, you know, the next stage of my career. And it's just like, Year of the Ricky was just like associated with a lot of like, yeah. So I just wanted to change my name to Ricky Behavior. And it's the name of my company and my business company. So I'm just like putting everything in Ricky Behavior.
It's smart, man.
And for me, it keeps me like, you know, keeps the fire under my ass. Like, just keep going, you know? I don't know. I mean, like, I'm in such a very, like, motivated stance lately. Like, I want to, like, work. I just want to just fucking, like, go after it right now. I feel just as hungry as I did when I first got in the industry. And like, I got, like, a new spark for some reason. So
I think it's in the air, dude. I was kind of hitting, because it's you do get to a point where you start looking around, you're like, fuck, really? I've been doing this a long fucking time. But then to every once in every, and it usually hits me about every 5 or 6 years, I'm finally like, you know what I'm going to do now? Watch this shit. Like, I consistently am like, I got to do, because you can. If you sit at a level and you get to this point, you're like, this is where I'm going to be. At some point, people are going to start passing your ass by. So if you don't reinvent or revigorate your brand or do something to make you take that next step, you get passed up.
Yeah, you know. And then, like, I don't want to say I've done all I can do as a performer, but, like, you know, I'm pretty, like, content with my performing and stuff like that. And it's just, like, now I have this new producing and directing thing. It's just, like, I'm starting from the fucking the bottom. So it's just, like, I want to get to the top. So it's just, like, that's why I'm so hungry. I'm going to learn, do everything I can, and just fucking get there.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead and say that.
I said I'm excited for the future.
You should be, man. And I'm going to circle back around because this is something you brought up earlier, and it's kind of relevant now. Is you said that, you know, your ultimate goal is to eventually do Hollywood directing and producing, right?
Yeah.
Do you know who Jackie St. James is?
Yeah.
You know, she's she was directing a show on that was produced and that was actually aired on Showtime like 5 years ago.
Was it the Emma Marks, the submission of, I forgot what it was called, but no, I think I know which one you're talking.
That was the
not that one.
No, it was an actual show. It was a series. I think it may have only ran for one season. You remember? Were you in the industry with Skin Diamond? Do you remember her?
I was in the industry when she was around, but I got in like probably the year after she left. Okay. But I know she is.
Well, she actually starred in this. She's part of it. Like, there's this whole, and it's either HBO or Showtime. Forgive me, Jackie, if you actually listen or watch this. But it was like it was an entire. I think it was a fucking 8-part series. I think. But like it was, she directed this fucking thing for either HBO or Showtime. So it's possible. I mean, fucking going back to a dude I was talking about earlier, James Dean. James Dean, he's done mainstream shit. The stigma. Yeah, the stigma that used to be that was, oh, you do porn so that you can never do this is bullshit, man. The crossovers are starting to happen. I mean, fucking Asa. Asa Akira was like, she voiced.
Family Guy.
Yeah. So it's there. It's there, and
it takes one. It takes one person to fucking, like, you know, fully do it, and then just open the fucking gates for everybody else. You know, yep. I want to get in that fucking door, and then open the back door. I'm like, come on, when you can, come, get in there.
Yeah,
you know.
And that's my thing. Is like I started with, you know, because I am the BDSM field. So I was like, you know, I've got the awards for best BDSM film, which is cool. But like, I want. Like I told the CEO, I was like, I've started my new script. I was like, I've titled it, and that's all I've got. And she's like, well, what's the title going to be? I was like, AVN. Movie of the year 2021. Like that's the working title. That's all I got right now.
I fuck with it.
So that's where I'm kind of at with the whole thing. But it's one of those, you know, if you don't fucking try and you don't aim for the fucking sky, you're never gonna get there.
100%. Yeah.
All right, man. This has been fucking awesome. And holy shit, that was an hour and a half, man. That went by.
Smooth, quick. Yeah. Good count.
Even though we've mentioned it, I always kind of wrap this up with giving everybody, like, you know, how to find you and, like, so all your social media, OnlyFans, all that shit, man. Tell us about it.
Okay. These are all new handles now, but my Twitter is Ricky Behavior. My Instagram is Ricky Behavior. My OnlyFans is OnlyFans.com/RickyBehavior. And there's a new thing out right now that I need to promote. It's called Brazzers Plus. And my Brazzers Plus is Brazzers, that's BRZ plus patreon.com/yearoftherick. No, slash Ricky Behavior. Sorry. No, actually, sorry. I fucked that whole thing up. Let's start over. It's brzplus.com/RickyJohnson. There we go.
There you go.
It took me a while.
Awesome.
Rather Plus is a new thing. It's a new thing. So it's like, go join that. Now,
real quick before, because I forgot I was going to ask you about that. Is that their like their version of OnlyFans and stuff?
In a way, it's like a not safe for work Instagram. So they have a lot of all the exclusives and the contract girls and contract guys are a part of it, and some other people that they work really well with. And there's a second wave of people coming that people don't even know about. There's another like 20 or so girls are coming. It's like the top girls in the industry, and it's like you get to see. It's like, and it's free. And so you get to see like their Instagram, but like it's like a nude Instagram, and it's like there's like sex videos and stuff like that. It's very like impersonal, and there's another part that you have to pay for, the stories. That's where you see the good stuff, and you can buy the videos, like their home videos. Like it's like a mix of OnlyFans, Fan Central, and Minivids all put together in one.
Okay.
So
is it kind of the same way that Fan Central kind of puts the wall up and blocks the Snapchat? So are they doing the same thing with Instagram, or is it a whole nother platform?
It's a whole nother platform.
Okay. That's fucking, they're killing it, man. They're killing it. You got with a goddamn good company.
They understand that it's becoming a content-driven industry, and they decided to capitalize on it as both adapt and join it, you know, or instead of like saying fighting it, they just say, you know, fuck it, we'll join.
Yeah, so, you got to fucking embrace it and get your piece of pie. So one final question. Do you think do they have an app for it? Are they going to create an app? Because that's everybody's obviously.
Because you know, it's so hard for porn, anything porn. OnlyFans doesn't even have an app, so it's just like they have the website you can put a bookmark. So it's pretty much impossible for anybody to get an app. If they do, fucking power to them. But you just gotta go on the website. It's simple to use. It's not hard. So
yeah, that's right. As soon as you said that, I'm like, oh, that's right. You do. Yeah, you got to go to OnlyFans.com and all the other loyal other fan things. All right, man. With that, I say. Awesome fucking meeting you. Even more awesome fucking talking with you. Until next time, man. Thank you, sir.
Fine. Appreciate you.